All right, so what's the main issue we're dealing with? We're going to deal first with the issue of, well, what's the machlokas? Right, the machlokas here. No, we're reserving it today. But thank you, though. So the question is, so according to one group says we don't make use of Eruv, right? And another group says you should make use of Eruv. Why won't you make use of Eruv? Like, what's the problem? Good, okay, hold on. But, like, why not? In other words, in this situation, it seems like a very, it's a very... Fine. So what's the other side going to respond to that, though? The problem you're going to have is that each side is... Fewer people
to be burdened.
But, right, so, no, I know. So I said that last time. In other words, there's two possibilities. There's maximize the distance each escort will travel versus maximizing the number of escorts. But that doesn't answer the problem. That's just focusing on two positives of each side. I want to know... What's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? I think Mordechai. Right. But so there's two ways you could have formulated this commandment for escorts to take him to ensure, right, that the goat gets to the end game with the shaliach. So one way is to simply say there can be no point in time during this entire journey that he is not escorted. Okay. So therefore, what are we going to make use of? Make use of as many implements as possible to ensure. Not, well, that's people. What else are we going to make use of? Boots and arrows.
The arrow doesn't help.
So if you form it that way, there could be no point in time where the shaliach and the goat are not escorted. So make use of every implement possible. That's what you want to make use of arrow. So what's the other side going to say? Ellie, say, what do you call it? In other words, and you got to be careful. There's one consequence of what you're saying you're going to have to deal with in a second, which is Elijah's question. Okay? But what do you say? Well, hold on. So, but what he's saying, what the other possibility is to say no, is to say that, how do they set this up? They said you have to have, I'm going to say this carefully, you have to have some booths available, but what you have to have the idea of a sukkah available, because what does sukkah do? So sukkah creates the framework for escorts to emerge, right? So they come from the idea of the booth itself. So that's the other way you can go, okay? Good. But now you're going to run into a problem. Yeah, oh, sorry. This follows. Let's assume the sukkah generates, the existence of the booth is what allows us to say that now the shaliach, the escort can now operate, right?
Well, Erev would also
not say no. Erev can't allow him to operate. All Erev does is one thing. It extends a previously existing zone.
Erev alone can't do anything.
Right, Erev doesn't do anything. Erev is...
Sukkah alone can't do anything.
It can!
So no, wait.
Oh, you mean only certain not once.
Correct.
It can't
right.
extend the zone
because Erev can't do that.
It's extending like from Jerusalem.
Like Erev is an extension of extend. The of his previous of his existing shlichus. So what's his shlichus? What's his shlichus to do?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, and the second version. What? Take him. What? How far? Take him. No, take him to. No. Take him to the next booth. Right. But what would he be doing if he went ahead and set up an Erev? Introducing, bringing that system in, what's he doing to his own shlichus? He's extending it. So that's a different system already. That's not what his chiyuv is. His chiyuv is to get him from booth A to booth B. He's doing that. That's not... So now Lazar's got a good question. Lazar says, one second. If you're telling me that about the first possibility, if you're telling me the idea is that there has to be like a, as long as he has to always be in a state of being escorted, so to speak. So then why would you have to use five booths? Why not just use two?
Engineering. First
case. How do you answer that? Well, what's the machlokas here? In other words, I think Rav Yossi agrees, you're right. When the Rabbanan set this up, right, what was the minimal shear of booths necessary to be able to, what do you call it, two? That's the shear, right? But like in any shear, what can you usually do? Let's say matzah. By matzah, what's the minimal share of matzah? Kazayas, right? But what are you allowed to do? You can always have more, right? Right. So I'm saying, but what's the other way you can learn? There is another way you can learn. I'm just saying, the way I would set it up is that they're not arguing about five versus two. Rav Yossi agrees with Elazar. You're right, of course. Two is the minimal share. What? Two is the minimal share. No. But there's another way you could formulate it. He said, right, he knows what he's saying to Elazar is, what he would say to Elazar is, I think that's what Tosfos Rosh is telling us with this, like, you don't want to wait too long. He's not saying it's five verses to be saying, I agree with you, two, but two's the minimal shear. I'm saying, but I have the right to add more because of what Tosfos Rosh is saying, because it's like, whatever the reason is, whatever it could be. Point is, I can always add to that. But there's another way you can learn. to make not make Allah seem like a. That's my caveat. It's not a, what? No, no, I'm saying I just gave it away. And I was eating the same way. What Elazar's original way of learning, the way you read Elazar, Elazar's kasha, so to speak, would be that, how do they put it together? They took the two variables of sukkah and erev, plugged it into the escorting, and what comes out? What number comes out? Always.
Two.
So you never need to ever have more. So what's the other way they could have formulated it? As a shear, right? Meaning, what do they say? They said that you're going to koveya a shear of two boots as your minimal shear of completing escorting. But you can build off of that if you want to. That Rav Yossi, first thing, it's not a shear. It's like, all right, so it's not. The main point is that what are they saying? They're saying that it was a shear of two, and now Rav Yossi's come along and saying, I have the right to build off of that. I could build off the shear. Right. So remember, the Mishnah told us what? The Mishnah said that on every sukkah, Omrim Lo, they would say to him, hey, there's food and water here. Okay? So as he's making his way through the desert, as the sweat drips off of him, right? I guess the call out, by the way, there's food and water here. That's what they have to do. So what does the Gemara say? No. No. Me'olam lo hutzrach adon lakach. Turns out that what?
Really, it is
needed?
No.
Well, no. How does it? No. Right, but what does it? What does it say though? It never what?
It never happened.
It never happened. Meaning that God never took advantage of the fact that he had food and drink available to him. Okay. Rather. Right, rather what? Rather we say, the fact that he hears... Yeah, okay. So what question would you ask on this? You should jump on that. Well, better. What do you mean what's a havmina? More precise. Does it...
Why does it matter if he's...
Those who's rushed to something very interesting. Lo nitzrach adam l'kaf.
Right, never happens that a person actually ate.
Right. Okay, right. Okay, well now you'll see that this ha'ara on the bottom explains what that means. But literally it means, if he needed it, they'd feed him. The afilu. Se'ir. Asa inui. So even if you want to say the shaliach is not docha inui. You know what that means? Okay, so... What? Right, meaning even if you want to say that the shaliach, that the laws of Yom Kippur, right, apply to the shaliach, meaning it's usher for him to eat or drink, maybe you want to learn that way, right? Mikol makom. No, if he needs to, could go into achzo bulmus. You know what that is? What's achzo bulmus? I'll explain to you in a second. Hayu machilin also. It's a very cryptic Tosfos Rush, but I'll give you two logical possibilities. Do you say that the food's available for him to eat and he's allowed to partake of the food, right? If he needed the food. Meaning one way to learn Sarach is he's hungry. So therefore what? And therefore is he within the system of Inui? No. Or do you say no? This is odd. Or do you say no. It's not that he's still chayv to fast. The only thing is that Ochus Bomus means he's in a state of? No, the opposite. So they have to feed him. Why? Like you were saying, because if he gets to the booth, he's going to die. So like any other person in Yom Kippur, that if they're in a state of Sakana Safashos, they have to be able to eat. 1 second. No, but wait. In other words, if the Mishnah is telling you it's mutter for him to eat, so why is the Gemara like sensitive about his usage of the heter? The Gemara is not saying that, the Mishnah didn't say, you know, b'dieved. The Mishnah is saying, listen, he's not part of the system of Inui. So he should be, it's mutter for him to eat. Meaning, if I'm coming along, right, and I know that Granik is in booth A, I'm the shliach, I'm going to partake of whatever you're serving that day in booth A, whatever it might be, okay? But the Gemara makes it sound like it wouldn't be such a good thing, right, if he took advantage of that, right? And therefore, I'm not sure if you pick up on this point. Well, let's see. Therefore, I'm sorry for spoon-feeding this to you. That's why the Mishnah says, Hari Omrim Lo. Because what it's saying is that there's an actual chiyuv of dibur. In other words, they can't just sit in the booth and wait there. There's an actual halakhic idea that they must say to him, there's food and drink here. And that, because that produces that psychological effect. It's not just, the Mishnah's not telling you they say it as a practical reason, there's an actual halakhic tzura to it. They must say, there's food and drink here. But with that said, is like this. So you have two things to define here. One is, what are the two ways of looking at the Shaliach regarding Inouye? Do you say he's in Inouye, and then it's just a kind of sefashos? Or do you say he's out of Inouye, and then he can make use of the food? But then the question is, why is the Gemara, like, not wanting to make use of it? It's a heter. What? I agree. In Inouye, it doesn't bother me, but he's out of Inouye, so let him take advantage of it. He's not taking advantage of it. It's mutter. It's not a putter kind of situation. It's that, enjoy yourself, eat it. It's not a halacha kafseg. If that were the case, then it'll be a problem. But say, listen, what's he, practically speaking, what's he doing? He's not being misasik anymore in his shlichus. The moment he stops to take advantage of the food and drink, his shlichus at that point stops. Okay, so of course someone's going to ask, okay, so we want him to be engaged in the entire time in the shlichus. What? No, halachically. It means it's a practical idea. What? Right, it's like this. In other words, he's supposed to be, it's misasik. Misasik doesn't mean hefsek. Misasik means he's always supposed to be
misasik. Where's the halakha compared to misasik? Is it a kiyum to continue to be misasik?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why
would
you say it's not part of
Inouye? What? Oh, no, I can't say why you shouldn't be part of Inouye, but what's that idea? That I can answer. No, it's not, no, there's two possibilities. The fact that he can eat or drink, there's two ways you can learn. Can he eat or drink because it's kind of some fashos? Or can he eat or drink because he's not part of system Inouye? What do you mean he's not part of system Inouye? What does that mean? Okay, right, so I have an answer for that.
He's able to, but it's better not to.
We know that already, but I'm saying, but what is it, how do they formulate this? How do they formulate this?
They mean the Torah.
What?
They mean the Torah.
What?
They meaning the Torah?
Yes, God. When God was trying to figure out this business of Shaliach and his ability to eat, what did he say? What? Is God? No. Right, exactly. What? So what would you say? This is the more intriguing question. What's he eating for? What's the purpose of eating? What? No, that's the other side. We did that already. That's easy. There's no chiddush there.
He's hungry.
What? He's hungry, right? What? Yes, but I think we can... Chola. Good. A chola. Chola is a classic example. Meaning what? Really, I'm chayev to fast, right? But if I'm sick, what can I do? There's a matir to be able to eat. But when I eat, right, how much am I allowed to eat? A minimal amount. Meaning there's a shear attached to... there's a heter, but it's not a blanket heter, it's only that which is, whatever, we'll call it, like, there's a certain minimal shear he's allowed to eat, right? So I want to say similar, in other words, it's not that he created a new system for this one guy, rather what God did, okay? It was within the system of heter for achila, right? What was the formulation here? Now say what you're saying.
You have a heter, exactly,
but it's no different than the concept of heter, achila, and for certain types of people in situations of Inouye. It's not a new system, you understand? It's just the same way a chola, there's certain things that kick in that allow that chola to eat. Here, what God did is he said seamlessly, there's certain hetar that kick in that he's allowed to eat. And what's the hetar? The hetar is formulated, what's the quote-unquote shear? Food at sukkah. That's what he's allowed to eat. Okay? But it's not that he's out of Inouye completely. He's just as chayav anyway as anyone else. So the machlokas is, how do we look at it insofar as Inouye is concerned? Do we say that he's like a regular Joe? Right? And therefore what? Only pikuach nefesh. Or we say, no, we treat him like we would treat like a pregnant woman or like a chola. It's another type of gavra where a special heter was set up. A special heter was set up for sukkah booth guys. For sukkah food. Second. The Mishnah told us what? The Mishnah said, it's on Simon Zayin of an Aleph, okay? The Mishnah says that Maya Oseh, so what would they do? That's your cue. Yeah. No, I know, but it's halfway through the Mishnah. Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Where it says, Maya Osa. Yeah. Chetzio Kasher Basela. Well, what does that mean? This string. Chetzio, what's Chetzio? Chatzi. Half of it was tied to, what's a Sela? A rock. So now they took it to soak. Okay, it's that soak now. So what does he do? He ties one end of it to a rock, and the other end of it to around his horns. Okay? So the string was, how was it tied? It was tied rock, horns. Okay. Go to the Gemara now. This is a crazy Gemara. It's two dots. It says Vinatre. Whatever, yeah. Kule. Okay, so the Gemara has a very good question. It says, what are you tying half of it on the rock and half of it on the horns? What should you do? Tie, come on, Kule, which is all of it onto the rock.
Why?
It's going to tell you why. Oh, what do you mean why? Because it's complicated. Half here, half there. Just try to put the whole thing on the rock. Why? What?
Wasn't the rock that you also took the ram off the card for the rock?
Amazing. Umalbin. I'll tell you why. Because you know what's going to happen? Because the mitzvah is to push the seer off the rock, off the cliff, right? But you know what could happen before that? No, no, no. You know what could happen before that? The string could. No, the string could turn white. But if it turns white, you know what the guy's going to say? Oh, we're forgiven, so what do I have to do the mitzvah for? It becomes superfluous. There's no need. It's an amazing thing. There's no need to push the seer off if what? Which shows you immediately that we have a misconception about what the seer is doing. Because if the seer is really carrying the sins of the Jews off the cliff, then what? Then the string can never turn in. Right. So therefore, what's the... So what do we know? We know what causes the string to turn color. I don't mean scientifically. Halakhically. What's the impetus for it? What's the catalyst for it to turn color? The completion of the Avodah. No, of the Avodah of the Mikdash. Because it could turn color before the goat was pushed off the cliff. Okay, and what's going to happen? He's going to say, what?
It's a long time to get to that cliff.
What if the goat just walks off the cliff?
It wouldn't. I don't know. It's a good question.